despair mingled with anger. Up to 4 patients could pass away in a single day.
The mission of Mlago National Referral Hospital is to offer state-of-the-art healthcare services. It has lived up to this mission with groundbreaking medical milestones, including undertaking the first successful kidney transplant in December last year. But underneath this medical progress is a story of suffering and frustration for many patients who seek care at the National Referral. A shocking undercover investigation by a New Vision journalist has laid bare the appalling failures in patient care at the hospital's health wards. Listen to this tear-jerking narration, telling the story of corruption, bribery, extortion, and sexual harassment. Our undercover reporter spent 3 months employed as a cleaner at the facility. In part 5 of Undercover in Mlago podcast series, our reporter stares into the face of death and she discovers medicine is not mounted.
The hospital, once a place of healing and hope, now seemed to hold a darker truth beneath its walls. My daily rounds with the food trolley alongside my friend from the kitchen opened my eyes to the fragility of life within Mlago Hospital. As we served in Block 2, 3 and 4, I could not shake off the haunting question, what led to the death of patients at specific times? The sight of mortuary stretchers, ferrying bodies from the wards, became a grim reminder of mortality. During cold weather, I learned patients on oxygen were particularly vulnerable. The chilly air weakened their lungs, often leading to tragic outcomes. The infectious ward, Block A, housed patients with HIV-related symptoms where despair mingled with anger. Cleaners in Block A shared grim statistics. Up to 4 patients could pass away in a single day. The intensive care unit on level 3 exuded a constant smell of death, with attendants banned from staying with their loved ones on oxygen. In one heartbreaking incident, a father was forcibly removed from his son's bedside only to return and find him gone. His grief turned to rage, cursing the doctors for separating him from his dying child. Amidst these tragedies, I could not ignore the laxity in medicine monitoring. Accompanying the in-charge to the store, I noticed the lack of surveillance cameras. Medicines flowed in and out without proper tracking. Patients resorted to buying drugs from external pharmacies following doctors' recommendations. I myself was asked to purchase a bandage from Getwell Pharmacy for a child in 3A. The hospital's internal pharmacy system seemed flawed. Theft of drugs was suspected, with cleaners and in-charge under scrutiny. One cleaner working in the general theatre was allegedly involved in selling hospital drugs to patients at discounted prices. In her room, she revealed a stash of drugs quietly restocking from leftover medications on patients' beds. Her brazen admission shocked me. She claimed to know how to administer drugs and even treated patients herself. Absenteeism among doctors was rampant, with reports of low outputs and doctors leaving for lunch and not returning. It was the interns and nurses who bore the brunt of the workload. Security, or lack thereof, was another glaring issue. CCTV cameras were absent at the main gate, with guards often sleeping on duty. The hospital's vulnerabilities were exploited by thieves with stolen computers and even gold reported missing. Cleaners, often blamed for thefts, found themselves under suspicion. The night shift, particularly after 2 a.m., became a hotspot for thefts. patients' phones, flat-screen TVs, and even a computer from the micro-laboratory vanished under mysterious circumstances. As I reflect on my time at Mulago Hospital, I am left with a profound sense of disillusionment. The place I once believed to be a beacon of care and healing was marred by corruption, negligence, and insecurity. Life indeed felt fragile within those walls. The platitudes of living each day as if it were the last took on a new meaning, tinged with the harsh realities of Mulago Hospital. In a hospital, the wish of those with loved ones in its care is often for a swift recovery and a return home. Yet within the walls of Mulago Hospital, I witnessed a stark reality where many patients never made it out alive. In a hospital, the wish of those with loved ones in its care is often for a swift recovery and a return home. Yet within the walls of Mulago Hospital, I witnessed a stark reality where many patients never made it out alive. When a patient passed away, their body was held in a room until the morticians arrived. An attendant would then pay for the body's treatment before it was taken to the mortuary. However, Aziz the mortician revealed that this payment was illegal. I learnt of a troubling practice where some attendants avoided taking their deceased loved ones to the mortuary, especially infants. Instead, they would smuggle the bodies out of the wards with the knowledge of doctors, often involving payment. A chilling incident from September resurfaced in my mind. A teenage boy's body was kept in the hospital, disguised with an oxygen mask to make it appear as if he were alive. His grieving parents then smuggled his body out in a car. More unsettling stories emerged, like that of Emma, who was accused of smuggling a body from a ward in Block A, Level 4. Emma vehemently denied the claims, stating that families sometimes requested to take their loved ones home before they passed. The morbid dealings extended to the mortuary itself. Some attendants were involved in smuggling bodies out, avoiding mortuary costs, and even selling items like earrings, shoes, and human hair from the deceased. My first time visit to the mortuary was a harrowing experience. The cold room, with its silent occupants on stretchers, sent chills down my spine. I watched in disbelief as Atimu, a cleaner, stitched a body. The mortuary attendants seemed detached and callous, treating the dead with a businesslike efficiency. I found myself sitting among the bodies, sharing a meal with the cleaners. The smell of death becoming strangely familiar. Yet amidst the macabre scenes, I found a new appreciation for life. The fragility of those lying in the cold room, once vibrant with hopes and dreams, struck a chord within me. But the ghosts of Mulago Hospital haunted more than just its mortuary. Strange occurrences, like doors opening on their own and phantom footsteps, unsettled the cleaners. Caro, the supervisor, warned us not to engage with these spectral entities. Despite the eerie encounters, it was the human actions that eventually led to my departure from Mulago Hospital. Disputes over salaries and missing uniforms culminated in my abrupt dismissal. I confronted Matthias, only to be met with rudeness and dismissal. It became clear that my time at Mulago Hospital was over, marked by an unjust exit and unanswered questions. As I left the hospital for the last time, The smell of formalin, the sight of human ribs, lingered in my mind. Mlago Hospital, with its tales of corruption, neglect and supernatural encounters, left an indelible mark on my soul. In the end, I could only hope that the stories I have shared shed light on the darker corners of this institution. It is a place where humanity's frailty meets its finality, a reminder to cherish each moment we have. Mlago Hospital, with its tangled web of secrets and ghosts, may continue its operations, but for me, it will forever remain a haunting chapter in my life, a testament to the complexities of our existence. And as I bid farewell to that chapter of my life, I carry with me the stories of those who suffered within its confines. Mlago Hospital, once a symbol of hope, now stands as a testament to the complexities and injustices of the healthcare system. May those who enter its halls find the healing they seek amidst the shadows that lurk within.
That's it for the fifth episode of Undercover in Mlago. Our undercover journalist continues to unveil the dark underbelly of Mlago Hospital's health wards.